Okay, welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News. The Golden State Warriors held their first practice since the All-Star break late Tuesday night at Chase Center. And a few interesting notes out of this. We're going to have an interview later in this show with Zach Norvell Jr., who was signed to a 10-day contract with the Warriors, but has not had that 10-day contract renewed. Players can sign up to two 10-day contracts in a season with the same NBA team, but the Warriors instead are going to go in a different direction. They're going to use that spot as well as the spot vacated by Jeremy Pargo, who was also previously signed to a 10-day contract. They're going to use those on other players. They're going to get a look at some other players in these last couple months of the season. So Pargo, Norvell Jr. will not be back with the Warriors, it seems, but I figured this would be a good time as any to air that interview with Jeremy Pargo, with Zach Norvell Jr., so that you guys could get a better sense of who he was and what he's about. So maybe not as relevant as it would have been, but you know what? Them's the breaks. So other news out of Warriors practice, the big stuff was Steph Curry. So Steph was he was a full participant almost in Tuesday night's practice, with the exception of a scrimmage at the end of practice. He was wearing a red shirt over his practice jersey, kind of looked like an NFL quarterback. I know NFL quarterbacks will typically wear those red shirts, meaning that, hey, you can't touch me. And so that's basically what Steph was wearing, kind of as a joke, but also, you know, he wasn't supposed to be touched. He was a non-contact participant, despite, you know, participating in all of the drills, except for that scrimmage to end Tuesday night's practice. So he's coming along nicely. Steve Kerr saying that he looks like he's in great shape. Curry, with this broken left hand, has been able to maintain his cardio and keep working out during his rehab process. So his conditioning should still be good when he returns, and he's not yet been ruled out for a possible March 1st return. Of course, that game against the Wizards at Chase Center, he will be reevaluated at the end of February, on February 28th. So everything looks to be going according to plan with Steph Curry. And as far as Klay Thompson goes, still no update with that. There was a story in The Athletic over the break quoting Joe Lacob as saying that he hopes that Klay could maybe play a few games at the end of the year. When asked about that, Steve Kerr basically said he doesn't even entertain any thoughts of Klay Thompson playing. That, you know, as opposed to Steph Curry, he can plan on Steph playing, right? And so that remains part of the plan. If Steph comes back in early March, that will give the Warriors 20 or so games to get a look at him along with Andrew Wiggins and some of his other new teammates. And what Kerr was saying was pretty interesting, the fact that Steph needs to play with these guys, not only to get used to them and to get to know them, but also to just understand what it feels like to play in this lottery-bound season. He said that, you know, over the last few years, they've taken for granted being able to go out and win and win at a high level. And you look at a guy like Draymond Green, who has had to deal with a losing season and get frustrated, you know, in several moments during this losing season. Steph Curry really hasn't had to do that. Of course, you know, being sidelined, being hurt and away from the team must be frustrating. But to get back onto the floor in what will end up being, you know, a lot more losses. Steph Curry coming back isn't going to suddenly mean the Warriors are going to start winning. They're still probably going to lose a whole bunch of games if Steph comes back. So if and when Steph comes back, so it'll be good for him to be exposed to that and to not take it for granted, as Steve Kerr said. So that remains the plan. Steph Curry will be back. He is looking good in practice. Klay Thompson, maybe not. Andrew Wiggins is still learning the playbook. The idea is for him to ramp up and get, you know, his understanding and his exposure to the playbook. Steve Kerr said he's probably seen about 40% of it so far. The hope is for him to see 100% of it by the time Steph returns. Coming up next, our interview with Zach Norvell Jr.
This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. With amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventures, and incredible food, Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. Arizona has one-of-a-kind spring training experiences, 10 stadiums, 15 Major League Baseball teams, and 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are within 50 miles of each other, making it easy to see as much of the action as possible. If you've ever been to spring training, you know it gives you a great opportunity to meet the players and get autographs before the game. Then after the games, check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby and enjoy live music from local and national artists. Plus, Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Go on hikes, hot air balloon rides, or skydiving. You can even go jet skiing or just take in that beautiful Arizona sunset. No matter what you do, Arizona has got you covered. And if you're bringing the kids along, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families, with family-friendly resorts and hotels that offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and organized activities. So plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining.
So just take me through these last 2 days for you, man.
It's been great. Yeah. You know, being around, you know, the culture, the group that we have, the coaching staff, and trying to pick everybody's brain.
Yeah. How did you find out that you were getting this 10-day?
I got a call. They called my agent. Just gave us the call. You know, they were interested and looking forward to signing as a 10-day.
So the agent, your agent called you, like, in the morning or something?
Yeah.
Did you have any expectation that that was going to happen?
I didn't, actually.
Yeah. So what was your first reaction when you had heard?
Blessed, thankful. Anytime, you know, you're playing a game that you love, you know, getting an opportunity like this, being able to play at the highest level, like I said, being around this group, especially all the gurus we got in the game around the gym that you can see here right now. Yeah, for the most part, just excited about the opportunity, being able to learn and grow as a player and a person.
Has anything stood out to you in the couple of days that you've been here?
Yeah, just how much fun everyone has with it. You know, basketball is a game that's supposed to be played with love and joy, and you see it the moment you step foot in here. But also, you know, how professional everyone is. You know, how you know, everyone comes in, get their work early. You know, a really fun group, really good group.
So you grew up in Chicago.
Yes, sir.
You went to school at Gonzaga. You go to the Lakers for a little bit. Now you're up here. I mean, is there something you like about the Pacific Coast a little bit?
I mean, it's been well to me for the most part. Yeah, no doubt. But I mean, I've enjoyed it since I've left Chicago. I have been on the side for a while. But yeah, no doubt, I've enjoyed it.
Take me through your background a little bit. I was reading that you had you went into your freshman year at Gonzaga, but you were dealing with a meniscus situation.
Loose body. It was a loose body, so it was just a little cleanup. My freshman year at Gonzaga, 2016, redshirted that year. Went to the national championship, so I was able to learn a ton from those guys. You know, making our way to the national championship, almost an undefeated season. So it was great.
What? So you just had that? I know they do like that knee cleanup a little bit, but it's a red shirt. I mean, was there a complication afterwards?
It wasn't. I was just for me. I just knew I wanted to get. You know, I wasn't where I wanted to be at. After I came back, we were already in the flow of things. I didn't want to rush back. I wanted to take my time with my game. Understand? You know, the college level. Just everything. And I wouldn't trade for anything, honestly. Yeah. Like I said, just being around the game, watching every day. Like I said, us making that deep run, the tourney.
Yeah.
I got to see, you know, the best college basketball one-on-one, you know, straight up. So it was great.
And then when you finally got back onto that court, your redshirt freshman year, you felt physically like, I mean, your stats were
Yeah,
great,
yeah, yeah, no physically. Doubt. Yeah, physically and mentally as well. You know, just being able to lead, being able to, it was my first time playing with a shot clock. So, like, you know, different stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, being able to just understand a lot of situations. Like I said, the previous year, it kind of, I've seen everything get thrown at us. So it was pretty cool.
You played 2 years and you had your redshirt year and then you decided to go to the draft. What was that decision-making process like for you?
It was great. I had a great support staff throughout the entire way. You know, it was really, you know, comfortable with my decision. Just me feeling ready as a player mentally, understanding this is, you know, a dream of mine. I've always took the game, you know, very, very serious from an early age. So, you know, understanding this is what I wanted to do, how, you know, spend the rest of my life doing it, I kind of wanted to hone in on it.
Were you surprised you weren't drafted? I mean, a lot of draft boards had you like high second pick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a little bit, but you know, like in this business, anything can happen. You know, I knew that wasn't going to be the start or end of anything, so it was just it was crazy, but yeah.
It sounded like you enjoyed Gonzaga a lot. Would you have left had you known that you would have went undrafted? If somebody told you, like, hey, you're not getting drafted, would you have still left?
I mean, probably not. Yeah, for sure, probably not.
If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all of the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you may not know that Locked On Warriors is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Warriors fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Warriors fans who are well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
Having gone undrafted, like, what was your reaction like that night?
Reaction at night. Who said it was going to be easy? I think that's all I kind of remember. It was like, you know, it was a process. Understanding, you know, everybody's path is a little bit different. Like I said, for me, it was just like I've dealt with a lot of motivation, you know, a lot of stuff thrown in my fire. So I'll just use it as fuel, honestly. Like no, not even cliche, but it was literally just like a story, like a movie. Like, okay, like it would have been crazy if I would have got drafted and everything would have went perfect. You know what I mean? So for us to go that way, it was like, all right, okay, being from the city, like, you know, why not?
Yeah. What was the next day for you? I mean,
in the gym. Yeah, I think that night I was actually in the gym. But, yeah, it was just back to work, back to the grind. I knew my work that I put in was going to show sometime.
Were you watching in Chicago back then?
I was.
Okay. Were you just with family?
Just family, yeah.
At home or without a spot?
Just close, yeah, close family.
Well, tell me a little bit about your time at Simeon.
Great. I was a freshman. We were number one in the country. Was able to be around guys like Jabari Parker, Kendrick Nunn. You know, we had a great group, coaching staff. The culture is crazy. We win a lot too, so that's also good.
Yeah. Who are some of your guys that you grew up watching?
Grew up watching Derrick Rose, Jabari Parker. I can go on and on. Tony Roden. I got a lot of guys just around. Yeah, a lefty guy. Yeah. So just a bunch of different guys in upper class.
Yeah. You know, Kai's a big Derrick Rose fan. I don't know.
No doubt.
That's like this dude.
Yeah.
So I guess what is your, I mean, you're on this 10-day contract now. Your approach, I mean, it's, you know, 10 days and then it's up. I mean, you could sign another one, I think. You know, what's your approach while you're here? What are you trying to get accomplished?
Learn as much as possible. Being able, like I said, just pick as much in their brains, put in my work, try to learn the system as fast as possible, show my winning mentality, my competitive spirit, just my feel for the game, my IQ. Like I said, just my winning mentality, I think just the most thing. I think this culture just, you know, still is winning and loves, you know, everything about a winning competitor, so that's pretty much it.
Have you leaned on anybody throughout your early career, kind of bouncing around?
I mean, like I said, Jabari, he's my big brother. He's, you know, he's been through it all, seen a lot, so anytime I kind of got questions or anything serious, I can kind of go to him, but for the most part, I've been going on the fly, too, but, you know, reaching back to older guys like Will Bynum, Bobby Simmons, all those guys are, you know, one phone call away.
And that's just because they're all from your city?
Yeah, all from the city. We all, you know, can all reach out and talk to each other at any point. Like, got their numbers. You know, big brothers to me.
I mean, what's Jabari, like you said, I mean, he's experienced all of it in his early career. What is specifically he told you?
Just trust my work. You know, always, you know, just put my work in when no one's looking. Be professional at all times. Just have fun with it, you know. This is something you're going to do for the rest of your life. Enjoy it. I try to be the best player I can be every given day.
Can you tell me a little bit about your family, siblings, parents?
Yeah, mom and dad. My dad's a police officer. Mom's a nurse. Three little brothers. Mm-hmm. Two on my dad's side, one on my mom's side. Two are seven, one is six.
What are their names?
Cody, yeah. Zachary, and Zachariah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I got some young ones.
Yeah.
Excited to see them for the All-Star break.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, get to go back home. But for the most part, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, they're just proud of you. They're just immensely proud of you, I would imagine.
Oh, man, yeah. Like I said, I've been in college for it was 3 years, so.
Yeah.
And then after this going pro, they were really young when I was away, so being able to get back now is pretty cool.
What's your mom's and dad's name?
Tanja Hall and Zach Norvilson.
And he's a police officer in Chicago, and she's a nurse in Chicago.
Yeah.
How much different was Gonzaga in that neighborhood versus where you grew up?
It was a lot different, but going along with my retro year, that helped out a ton. Being able to get acclimated to the pace of the city, my time management, you know, stuff like that, how much work I needed to put in, you know, still get my work done, being able to still get my hours of sleep. So it was actually a lot of different. It was a lot different coming from the fast-paced city to, you know, Spokane is a little bit slower.
Okay, that's it for today. We will have a crossover episode with Locked On Rockets tomorrow, and then a recap of the Warriors Rockets game to round out the week. Remember to listen to and subscribe to Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Thanks for listening.